Your presence today is indicative of your innocent things divine, and we're glad that you have braved the cold weather to come out and be with us to worship God in honor of His resurrected Son. I want to speak to you for a little while today on a subject which is close to my heart, and it is called the Bible heart. The Bible heart. You know, ladies and gentlemen, back in the book of Genesis, which we've been studying on Wednesday night, we found that God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I believe that Adam was created a full-grown man. I believe Eve was created a full-grown woman. They never did experience childhood. And I believe that when God made Adam back there in the beginning, that he made him similar to all of us. I don't know exactly how tall he was. I don't know how much he weighed and all of that. But Adam was created with feet and with legs and with a torso. And then God put a head up here upon him. And he put within him a Bible heart, as we call it, which some people call it the mind. And if you get down to chemistry, they'd call it the brain. And all of us have it. And I don't believe that Adam evolved. I believe Adam had an IQ that might have been superior to ours. I don't know about that. People vary in that. But God placed this in all of us as responsible people, this heart, this mind. And the Bible has a great deal to say about it. It's a very complex part of your anatomy. Joseph Light, in his book, says that the brain of man is so complicated that it has billions of neutrons, each one of them comparable to a computer. Now, you think about that. It's amazing how God made man and placed this brain in him, this mind in you and in me. We all have it, and we function today. And anyone who could think, even think, that this could have happened by cosmic chance needs his brain examined himself. Imagine this, that God could make this thing in your head comparable to billions of computers, the neurons within your brain. Even yet, we don't understand it. And yet, we know we all have it. That is the Bible heart. It's called, in the Bible, a heart. It's called a mind. And sometimes, technically, we call it the brain. All referring to the same thing. And it guides the functions of your body. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. You understand all of that. And you know, it's out of the heart that proceed all of these things, and it's important that we control it. And I want to read for you some scripture here that's read, I think Taylor read this a few moments ago, but you know, the Pharisees, they thought that what a man put in his mouth defiled his soul. Jesus says that isn't so. He said, it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth the man, but that which cometh out. And then in Matthew, the 15th chapter, he gave us this expression in verse 19. He says, for out of the heart, that's up here, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. Now, these can all come from your heart. Now, that's the only thing, not the only thing that can come from the heart. Good can come from your heart, too. And I'm going to read that in just a minute. But he says, these are the things that defile a man. These are the things that defile you, the way you think. And, of course, this thing we have up here, known as the Bible heart, it is that organ through which we think, and God gave it to us. And he gave us the power to think. Now I want to turn over to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and read more about this heart in the Bible. And I turn to the 4th chapter of Philippians, and I'm going to read verse 8, and I want to show you something. He says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, that's in contrast to what we read over here in Matthew 15 chapter about what a man could think. Notice, there are several things I want you to notice about this. First of all, it is with our mind, our heart up here, that we think. You're thinking right now. I don't know what you're thinking about. None of my business. But we all think. Sometimes we think on the wrong things, as Matthew 15 says. But you can think on good things too. That's just up to you. But there are two things I learned from this scripture. Follow me closely. That you control your thinking. When God put this brain in you, this mind in you, this heart in you, He doesn't force you to think on good things. He gives you choice. You choose what you're going to think on, and we all think on something. It may be bad or it may be good. Now, the reason I read these two scriptures, Paul says, if there be any virtue, think on these things. What are Christians supposed to think about, Paul? What are we supposed to think of? Adulteries? Fornication? Theft? No. Jesus said, that's what defiles a man. He said, that's what defiles a man if you think on these things. And some folks do think on these things. He says, but if you'll think, listen to the list of things he tells you to think on. He says, the things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and of good report. He says, brethren, think on these things. Is that what you think on? I hope so. It'll make a fine Christian out of you if you'll think on what Paul said right here in Philippians 4. But if you allow your mind to go into the gutter and you start thinking about adulteries, fornications, thefts, blasphemies, you remember I read that here in Matthew 15. The reason I bring up these two scriptures is to show you that you control your mind, that you control your thinking, and you can either think on things of Matthew 15 or you can think of things on Philippians 4. It's up to you. God didn't put this mind in you and then force you to think on things holy. He didn't do that. That's why I'm preaching this sermon. And I hope that you will think on what Paul says will make you a Christian, will enhance your Christianity, because it all starts up here within the confines of your mind. Now, we've learned several things thus far in our lesson. Number one is we can think on evil things if we want to. Number two, we can think on good things if we want to. God doesn't force us to think on things that are high and holy. Now, there's another scripture that I want to turn to at this time, and it's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, because, he says, they're not spiritually discerned. Ah, now we found out something more about this brain, about this heart, about this mind that God put in you that has a billion neutrons in it, like computers. It's a great machine up here. It's great. As a matter of fact, it sort of blows my mind that God could make a human being with this. But yet he did. And I don't believe in organic evolution. I don't believe that Adam was sort of a stupid fella, that like an ape or something, didn't know much. Adam might have been smarter than all of us in this audience. I don't think he evolved. I don't know how smart Adam was, but he could carry on a good conversation. I'll guarantee you that. He didn't have to evolve from a lower animal state. He was created a full-grown man. And I'll tell you, he had a brain in him just like you. God put it in him back there in the beginning. That's the way God made us. And we all came from the loins of Adam. Now, this passage here in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. So what Paul does, he says, up here in your brain, it's divided into a natural man and a spiritual man. And he says, the things of the Spirit, the spiritual things, are not received by the natural man because they are foolishness to him. And that's what you have in your brain. You may not know it. You've got a natural side and a spiritual side. Someone says, preacher, what do I do with that natural side of my brain? Well, you do a lot of things, and they're not all evil. But there's potential of evil. Now, if I said that God made you with this brain, with the natural man and the spiritual man, and by the way, Adam Clark says the natural man is the animal man and animal man in you, and I agree with that, and I believe Barnes says that it is the sensual man. I believe we do have sensuality, but that's not wrong within itself because it carries out a function for our living. For example, let me just bring it right down to earth and give you an example. If you think about going out to eat a fine meal and salivating food, and most of us do enjoy eating, and maybe you think about a porterhouse steak, and you think, we're going to go out tonight and I'm going to get me a good steak, because say you like steak. Well, before you get there, what are you thinking about up here? Well, on the natural side of your brain, you're thinking about it. Nothing spiritual about eating a steak. Absolutely nothing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so as you approach the restaurant, you're still thinking about it, and you're getting prepared for it, and sure enough, that steak tastes real good. But it all started up here in your brain. You can't deny that. Don't tell me that's not so. I know better. It starts up there. You think about what you want to eat. And as we say, salivate the food, so to speak. And so then you go out here and you get it and you enjoy it. Someone said, what's wrong with that? Nothing. That God put that in you. But it has nothing to do with spiritualism. It doesn't have anything to do with going to church and worshiping God in spirit and truth and with observing the Lord's Supper and singing praises to God. That's on the spiritual side of your brain, which you have to also use. I had a man to tell me one time, he said, Ward, the trouble with some people is they don't have any spiritualism in them. I said, oh, yes, they do. They just don't choose to use it. God put it in them. There's not a person in Prentice County, but what has his mind, he has a natural side and a spiritual side. He may not ever use that spiritual side of his brain, but that's his choice. Someone said, well, all he thinks about is going fishing and hunting, and he thinks about going to ball games and gratifying his sensual desires and all that. I said, well, that might not be wrong. It could lead to wrong, but that's not wrong within itself, as long as he'll use the other side of his brain to go to heaven. But you're not going to go to heaven by thinking about ball games and tennis games and fishing and hunting and all of that. That's not going to take you to heaven, my friends. You've got to wake up and use the other side of your brain. Someone says, I don't want to use it. Well, that's your choice. That's your choice. But don't tell me that a man doesn't have spiritualism in him. He just won't use it. And that's the problem. I had talking to a man one time about the Bible. And he finally told me, he said, Ward, I don't want to talk about it. You know what he's doing? He says, I'm not going to use that side of my brain to think. I'd rather think about something else that I'm going to do fleshly here. And I don't want to talk about hell. And I don't want to talk about how bad it is. And I don't want to talk about that. I'm just refusing to talk about it. I said, okay, that's up to you. But that's not going to change him on the day of judgment, my friend. God made you and he gave you a Bible heart. And that Bible heart has a natural side and it has a spiritual side. I know you may think this is deep, but it's really not. I'm just telling it like it is. The spiritual man, he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit because they're foolishness to him. Well, where do we absorb the spiritual thing? From the spiritual side of our mind. Now, The natural side of your mind is not wrong because you can enjoy food, you can go to ball games, you can enjoy fishing, you can enjoy hunting, you can enjoy trips, but there's nothing spiritual about that. That's all physical. Someone says, but it's not wrong. No, but it could become wrong. Let me give you an example. Let's say a man goes down to Tupelo and he finds a car, and he just thinks that's the most beautiful automobile. And he said, I'd really like to have that car. Well, which side of the brain is he using? He's using the natural side. Someone said, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing. There's nothing wrong. He hadn't committed a sin. But he doesn't have the money to buy the car. But he says, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to save money, and I'm going to buy that car. And so in the future, he goes down, he buys it, or gets the down payment for it. And someone says, has he sinned? No. But there's nothing spiritual about buying a car. But there's nothing wrong with it. But let's go take him back to the house, though. And he gets to thinking about that car, and he doesn't have the money to buy it. And he said, you know, I believe I could steal that car. Did you read here what Jesus said comes up in the heart? Sometimes it's thefts. Where does it start? Well, I'm just taking the Bible. It says it starts up here. What did he do? He's lying in bed. And he said, I could steal that car some night. I could go down there and get it. Now he's allowed the natural side of his brain to commit sin. because that Jesus said that's what comes into the heart or into the mind is thefts and fornications and adulteries. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. I just read it to you. Matthew 15. So he goes down there and he steals his car. He has sinned because he allowed the natural side of his brain to get out of control. And he stole an automobile. It wasn't wrong for him to desire it. That wasn't what was wrong. He just allowed his mind to get out of control. A woman goes into a store and she loves diamonds. And she sees this diamond in that case, the most beautiful diamond, and it's a temptation to her. And she said, I'd really like to have that diamond. But she didn't have the money. But she decides to save money and buy it. That's fine. But she gets to thinking, you know, that clerk turns her back, and I could go down there. I want it so badly. I could reach into that case, and I could get that diamond, and she'd never catch me. So she goes down there, and while that clerk has her back turned, she reaches in, she steals a diamond. She sinned. Her sin wasn't necessarily in wanting the diamond. Her sin is in theft. Jesus said it starts up here in the mind. And then it culminates in actual stealing. Someone said, well, he said also adulteries and fornications start in the mind. That's right. Someone said, well, then you're saying the sex drive is sinful and that God put it in you up on the natural side of your brain. No, I didn't say that. Don't misrepresent me. I did not say that. God did put the sex drive in you, and it's on the natural side of your brain. It's not on the spiritual side. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers God will judge. There's nothing wrong with sex, as long as it's carried on properly. Nothing wrong with it. If there were, we could blame God. That's not what's wrong. It's that up here in your mind, on the natural side of your brain, it gets out of control. That's where Jesus said adulteries and fornications and thefts and blasphemies start is on the natural side of your brain and you don't control it. That's all in the world he's talking about. He's not saying that those desires are wrong within themselves. He never did say that. You need to understand the Bible. You need to understand what the Lord taught. But it emanates up here in your brain, in your heart. That's why my subject is the Bible heart. Now, out of the heart proceed all of these things. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And you have a choice. For example, someone says, preacher, you've been talking about the natural side. What about that spiritual side? Oh, that's where you think of love and joy and peace and those things that Paul mentioned in Philippians 4. They're all on the spiritual side. They're good. They're good. Going to church, observing the Lord's Supper, singing songs of praise, having fellowship and treating your brethren right, and not using any blasphemies, and not thinking evil things and evil thoughts, but he says whatsoever things, as he says, are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And I hope that's what you're thinking about right now. Right now. I hope you're thinking about Philippians 4. I hope you're not thinking about blasphemies and how you hate a brother, or what you'd like to do to him, or that he's doing something you don't particularly like. I hope you're thinking on what Paul said in Philippians 4. That'll make a Christian out of you, my friend. But you control it. You control it. Now let me give you an example of how this works. Christian people know that God has levied on them certain responsibilities. One of them is the observance of the Lord's Supper. And we just observed it. And our minds, we're to control our minds, as the brethren say when they mentioned the Lord's Supper, they say, let our mind go back there to the cross of Calvary where Jesus died. And that's fine, because that's the control of the mind, that you're thinking about what you ought to be thinking about, and you do make choice on your thinking. Think on these things. You control your thinking. You control it. God doesn't do it for you. You've got to put your mind back where it ought to be. And As I said, here's a man who knows he should observe the Lord's Supper, and he knows that he's not to forsake the assembling of himself together, Hebrews 10:25. He's a Christian, he's a child of God, but he's lying in bed on Sunday morning, just like this morning. And the natural side of his brain, from that side, he thinks, well, it's cold, or I could go out and do something. Maybe if it's in the summertime, he would say, this would be a good day to go fishing. This would be a good day to go visit my relatives. And I've got to decide here what I want to do. But on the spiritual side, he thinks, no. He says, God tells me to go to church. God tells me to observe the Lord's Supper. God tells me to have fellowship with God's people and to build up the church because it's his body. And I really should do that. But on the other side of my brain, I think it would be good to just skip out today. Just skip church and go somewhere else. Well, the devil's working on him, of course. I understand that. And he lies there in the bed, and he vacillates between whether he's going to go or whether he's not going to go. It just depends on what he decides, doesn't it? Someone says, well, you're talking about me, preacher. I may be. I may be. I may be talking about you. But I want to tell you, I'm telling it like it is. That's why we have a lot of dilatory people within the confines of the church. They allow the devil to persuade them to do whatever they want to do. Maybe the thing they do is not wrong within itself. I'm not saying it's immoral. But it's on the natural side of their brain, and they don't allow the spiritual side to take predominance and for them to come onto the house of God and to worship him in spirit and truth. I hate to use myself as an example or my family, but when I was a boy, I want to tell you something my mother never did do. There never was a question on Sunday morning about whether we were going to church. That was carved into the stone. We knew to get up and get ready for church. My mother and daddy never did debate, say, well, I don't know, we could go visit today, and I don't know whether I want to go or not go. That wasn't a decision. Their decision was already made. I know because I lived in the house. We knew to get up and get ready for church. We knew that. There wasn't any vacillating between the natural side and the spiritual side of the brain. We knew that we were going to go to the house of God. That was in, as I said, carved in the stone. And we got up as children and got ready. I never did hear my mother and dad discuss, well, the weather's kind of bad. I don't know whether we'll go today. I think we'll skip out today. I never did hear that. Now, the weather might have gotten so bad, the roads so slick or something, that we couldn't make it. But there never was any question about whether we was going to church. And I want to tell you, if you're a strong member of the church, there is no question about where you're going. Now, if you're weak, and if the devil gets a hold of the natural side of your brain, he might persuade you to go somewhere else. Someone said, preacher, that's kind of strong language. It may be, but it's the truth, isn't it? You know I'm telling the truth. And that's why we have so much backsliding within the confines of the church. We've got to have preachers who will tell it like it is. And I have explained from the standpoint of your heart how that works. And I've given you Bible to back it up. Because we do, God made us. And he gave us this mind. He gave us this heart. And we make decisions. Out of the heart proceed these things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. Believe it. Believe me. You're what you think. If you're thinking about evil out here and going out here and doing something evil, like stealing or blasphemies or adulteries or fornication, committing fornication, that's where you're going to wind up. That's where you're going to wind up. But it started up here in your brain, didn't it? Don't argue with me. Didn't it start up here in your mind? Isn't that where it started? Well, if you're honest, you're going to say, yes, it did start up there. That's where it started. I got to thinking about it. That's why you need to purge your mind. And as the Bible says here, you need to think on things that are true and are honest and are just and are pure and are lovely and a good report. He said, if there be any virtue, he says, think on these things. But you're not forced to think on them. That's up to you. Because when God made you, that's the way he made you. You are what you think. And that's why I wanted to talk for a little while about the Bible heart as it is revealed in the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you something. When you talk to a person and try to convert him, believe me, what you've got to get him to do is to get off the natural side of his brain and to get over on the spiritual side. Get over on the spiritual side and think about that, his soul salvation. Because he's not going to, on the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. And as long as he's thinking on that side of his brain, you're not going to convert him. I guarantee you, you'll never convert him. But if you can get him to switch over and think on the spiritual side of his brain, you have the possibility of converting that man. If you can get him to thinking right. See, about his soul salvation, about going to heaven, about the love of God, the love of Jesus, and how that he died for us. And he gave his blood for us on the cruel cross of Calvary. And he established the church with his blood, Acts 20:28. Feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And if you can get a person to thinking that way, you have a great possibility of converting him. But he has to switch over. You know, an airplane, a piston-powered airplane, has a double set of magnetos. That is, it'll run on just one of them. And when you rev up the engine, as a safety precaution, you turn it to the right, and that's your right magneto. And that engine will fire on them. Then you switch to the left and see how much drop you have in your RPMs. It's double, and if you have too much, you don't try to fly it, you see. Because you need both of them as a safety precaution. Because if one side goes out, the other side will keep you from crashing. And so it's kind of like your brain. You switch from the natural side over to the spiritual side. You just turn the key, see. And you think, well, I'm thinking about heaven, and I'm thinking about hell, and I'm thinking about my soul, and I'm thinking about saving other people, and I'm going to quit thinking about fishing and hunting and all that and all of those other things for a minute, and I'm going to think about things spiritual. And you can do it if you want to. You better do it. That's the only way you're going to go to heaven. That's the only way you're going to go. But the choice is up to you. I hope if you're here today that you'll think spiritually. And that if you're not a Christian, you'll come and be baptized into Christ. Because that's where you'll be thinking, is on that spiritual side. And then you'll live that Christian life by thinking on those things that Paul mentioned in Philippians 4. True, holy, just, lovely. And that's the way we ought to think. But if you're here today and you're subject, we hope you'll obey the gospel. Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?